In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. The first reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter comes from the book of Acts, Acts 17, verses 16 through 31. While Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him, as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting, for you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. "Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, who will be blessed? Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel comes from St. John, chapter 14, 15 through 21. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells within you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, in you and me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begot not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together was worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Today is the sixth Sunday of Easter, liturgically speaking. The church year is divided up into seasons, with names like Christmas, Advent, Lent, Epiphany, and Easter. The next season to come will be Pentecost, and these cycles will keep continuing until Christ comes again. In our text, Jesus is telling his disciples that he will soon ascend back into heaven, where he will reign along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Even though he won't be visibly present, and they won't see him as they see him now, but he'll still be with them. He'll be present with them in this world. We have an old adage that says, out of sight, out of mind. Will Jesus leave his disciples completely and just become a memory of the good old days? Christ tells them no. Although he will be invisible to the eye, our faith will see him in all of his glory. I call this sermon, In a Little While, because this is an indefinite statement. Christ wants us to know and live in confidence of his return, and that things will get better in time according to his good pleasure and his love. And we who are suffering all manner of things, from the dreaded virus down to minor inconveniences, know that these things will pass, as did our condemnation from sin. But this will happen when, as we pray, that His will be done. This brings us back to our theme, which is, in a little while, these things will happen. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." There are two great words in our theology, which are sanctification and justification. Jesus was more of a sanctification preacher than he was a justificational one. This means that Jesus spoke volumes of sermons on subjects like the Beatitudes, where he said, "Blessed are those who do good things, because they shall receive their reward." Paul emphasizes faith, which extolled what we believe over what we did. This is what is happening in our sermon today, where Christ is telling more about what we do than rather what we believe. And here Christ says to them, "If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments." We who have been trying to keep his commandments know that this is impossible. And that's why we need a Savior. We need our Lord Jesus Christ, because when measured against the law, we are sinful and unclean. And that in every aspect of our life, we need the help of Jesus. And so Jesus tells them, "I'm going to send you a helper." They need help. Christ says, "I'm going to send you a helper. And this helper is going to be with them. They're going to travel with them, be with them wherever they are, and in whatever aspect of life they need help, I'm going to send you a helper." But now that group is going to be disbanded. Christ must die for the sins of the world. And that is the only way the redemption can come. He was their helper in life, but he's leaving them. He's going to ascend back into heaven next week. Then what will they do? Here's what the Lord says. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Is that a rhetorical question? If you love me, they love the Lord, but their love doesn't show itself at all times. And so what does Christ tell them? "I'm going to send you a helper. You may not think you need a helper, but I'm going to send you one anyway." Another name for this helper is the Spirit of Truth. Christ doesn't call him the Holy Spirit, the Sanctifier, or the Spirit of God. Now Christ calls him the Spirit of Truth, who's going to come to them and be with them and minister unto them according to their needs. But that's easier said than it is to be believed. Things happen to us fast. And sometimes we forget that the Lord has promised to be with us and to keep us and to sustain us and to be our helper. Now, the thing that Christ has helped us the most with is our sin. You know we have come into this world sinful and unclean. And we not only arrived sinful, but our life is a picture of sin. And so we fell into despair, destruction, disorderly living, and all of that. And so God says, I'm going to send you a helper. He sent Christ, who was our helper, but he's leaving. And so he's sending another helper, a helper that has always been with them, but they didn't realize it. The Spirit of God is with us. And he's always been with us. But sometimes we don't realize it. We say that good things happen because we are lucky. But we are blessed because God is a merciful and just God who, because Christ has taken away our guilt, finds us sinless and clean. Now this takes us back to our text where Jesus comforts his disciples, whom he will soon leave, by telling them, I'm going to send you a helper. He was their helper, but now he's going to send them a helper for when he leaves. And I said, the Holy Spirit is that helper. But we don't always feel his nearness and presence. And that's another thing. I use the word feel, but our theology is not based upon feeling. It's based upon the certainty of the Word of God. What God promises and what God says, no matter how we feel, it's going to happen. Now I want to close by reading again those words from our text. Yet in a little while the world will see me no more. And this is where we at now. We are at now. We can't see him. And he said that the world will see me no more, but he's also with us. And he says, but you will see me because I live and you shall live also. How is this possible? You will live in me and I will live in you, the Lord tells us. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Faith is not always evident in our lives, but it is the faith that keeps us and sustains us as we live through God. And now let me go back to these words as I close. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. This is reciprocal. He's saying, you love me, and my Father will love you. And he even gives us the power and the strength to love him. So in confidence, we ask the Lord to do as he says in our text, to manifest ourselves to him, and he to us. Amen. Now, let us pray. Almighty and merciful Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray for your continued support and the strengthening of our faith during this time of trial. We pray that you will be with your church throughout the world and especially the members of Trinity Lutheran. as we patiently wait for our return to church. Give to all people strength and refreshment through the hearing of your word. Grant that your Spirit would increase our faith in you and our love toward our neighbor. Let us be faithful witnesses to the power of your love that was demonstrated on the cross and where you won for us salvation. Continue to grant grace to all who are in need and healing to those who are battling sickness and disease. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.